Welcome to the Happy Home Podcast. I'm Arlene Pellicane. Have you ever wondered, where are my keys? What did I do with that form? Why is my counter so messy? Well, take heart, my friend. Organizing pro Marcia Ramslin is with me today talking about what to toss, what to keep, and how to tell the difference. It's a pleasure to have as a guest my friend Marcia Ramslin, who is an organizational whiz. Her books are Simplify Your Life and also Simplify Your Holidays. So if your past holiday wasn't that simple, you might want to pick that up for your next holiday. But you know, at the beginning of the calendar year, it's a great time to say, okay, what's working, what's not working? And one way you can have a happier home is to have a more organized home. Whether it's my junk drawer, or it's my kitchen counter, or it's my kids' room, whatever is a mess in your house, Marcia can help you. Yes, she can. So as we begin, I asked her, you know, I'm in my 40s, and I've noticed that as people get older, they start forgetting, where is this, where is that? So my first question to her is kind of about, as we age, how can we stay organized? But for you young 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds, hang in there, because the answer is for you too. And if you followed my podcast for a long time, you may recognize this interview, which I aired a few years ago, but I believe that it's relevant for today, so I brought it back. Here is Marcia Ramslin. So Marcia, let's say a woman is thinking, okay, I feel like I'm losing my mind. I'm in my 40s, my 50s, my 60s, my 70s. I can't find things. Why is it especially important for women as we get older to be organized?
I think it's really important to know you're not losing your mind. Your system is broken. It's not a character flaw. It's not an age issue. It just means you're handling more things and you need to create systems to deal with the changes in your life. So typically, as we go on in life, we've achieved something in our 20s, and we take that skill forward, and all the extra things that go along with that skill, which are probably paper files if yes. you're a teacher, or writing things if you're a writer, or if you organize organizations, you have notebooks of them, and all of that stuff moves forward with you, and you have to learn how to let go. So it's not just organizing what you have, but it's stepping up a level and saying, okay, I'm going to simplify my life and say, that was a part of my past. I'm comfortable in letting it go. Here's an example. I just went through my files, and having been a teacher for 24 years on the topic of organizing, I actually gave them out to my son, who scanned them, and he handed back 4 inches of papers in 20 minutes on a flash drive.
How funny.
And my goodness, I've been doing that since the beginning of the year. I've gotten rid of 66 pounds of paper from my files, electronically on my flash drive and on my computer, and you can back them up. And believe it or not, you just have to think ahead and say, you know, in 10 or 15 years, these papers are going to be yellowed, and if I don't scan them now or continue to toss the papers and just keep the electronic file, I'm going to have a lot of clutter and dust sitting around me, and there's nothing more depressing as you age in having clutter around you and not have the freedom to move forward. A second reason is to think about the freedom that letting go gives you of too much stuff. Too much stuff, too much to do, too many responsibilities. So we really want to let go of that. And then the next reason to do it is we want to look forward rather than backward, with hope that the best times in your life are coming ahead. So if we are hanging on to trophies and books and an old library, we're going to feel like, oh, that was so meaningful. That's what I'm all about, and I have to keep those classics. Well, a few of them are classics, but actually you have to cull down the library and all your favorites of everything and just keep what are the key items that will give you enough memories to move forward with freedom.
Is there any tip you can give to help a lady discern, okay, this is worth keeping or this is not worth keeping? Because you know so many hold an item and think, oh, I can't quite let go of this, but, oh, I don't really need it. And, you know, how is there something that a woman can do to kind of help her discern?
Yes, you want to take the whole collection together. So if you're going through, say, your jewelry drawer, mm-hmm. and you're looking at the top of your dresser and it's a mess with jewelry and the drawer itself is full and all your jewelry boxes are full, say, what would I really like it to be so I can get dressed quickly in the day? And how much am I willing to store? So So you might have your everyday things and look at this really neat jewelry box and say, I want my stuff that I wear every day to be in here, and then I want to have no more than a shoebox full of little boxes of things that I'm storing, and then the rest goes out. So that way you're taking the whole collection and saying how much is enough, instead of taking each item and saying, oh, but I have attachment. Another good way is to take pictures of the whole collection and look at it through a picture and through your camera's eyes, and you go, oh my goodness, that's too much. We did that with our first child when she was born. We put all the toys outside around her. Actually, my husband did it, and took a picture. And I looked at that picture, and I go, oh my goodness, we have tons of stuff. And that was helpful in seeing the whole collection and saying, let's narrow it down. And, of course, you know my tip. You want to say, do I use it? If not, I'm going to lose it. So the use it or lose it tip is a really good one at that point. One other tip. When we were moving last year, I counted all the books in my library. Not many people do that, but I couldn't decide which favorites to get rid of. We counted 450 books, and at that point I said, at 60 cents a pound in moving them, I need to cut this in half. So I literally counted until I got down to the number that was half of that, 220, and at that point it was a goal achieved instead of a great loss in my life.
Yeah.
I felt, wow, I've achieved a goal, and I have blessed 220 other people with books that probably needed to be circulated, and the library is much happier at this point, too.
Yes. So you can imagine if a woman really pares down her clutter and gets more control of her stuff, it's going to be a lot easier to manage her household and to find what she needs to find.
Yes. And you really want to make sure that you do this because women and mothers in particular are models that their kids follow in their organizing habits. And it's not particularly how you do a single drawer, but it's the comfort level you have with the amount of clutter or order in your household. If kids grow up and mom was always on the run with a time schedule and everything was chaotic and let's hurry and rush, 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 and beds were unmade and clutter in the family room and clutter in the kitchen, I guarantee every child that you raise will feel comfortable with that, and that's how they're going to carry on in their household. I also tell parents that if you want to help your child do better in school, give them an organized home, not just an organized room that the child lives in, but actually the home is organized. And I guarantee as a school teacher, kids that come from an organized household where the dishes are put away at night, the laundry is done, they can find their paperwork, and it goes regularly back every day to school, they do almost a whole letter grade better than those that come from a chaotic household. Mm-hmm. It's just because order helps you think orderly, helps you achieve more, and you have a space and a place to do more things in your life.
So let's say we think, okay, that's great. I want to do that. How do I get started? Now I'm overwhelmed. I'm already busy, and I'm supposed to start organizing now. What's one, like a first step to take?
I really like to start with I'm going to give you two choices.
Yeah.
The first place is a room in your house, and I would always say that's the kitchen because it's connected with the family room. If you can do those two spaces, work on it every single day of putting it away after each meal in the kitchen, make sure in 10 minutes you have managed to learn to clean up the kitchen, you will be able to go on and do paper piles and garages and photos.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't manage the kitchen, I doubt that you're going to feel successful at other areas because that's the first level, just
yes.
Getting everything put away there.
Yeah.
The second choice is to begin what's frustrating you. So if it's getting out the door in the morning, you might want to say, it's my closet. I can't find shoes. I can't find an outfit. Spend the time to get rid of the excess, put together outfits, and that way that's your frustrating point, and so start there.
Yeah.
So decide, am I going to start with what's frustrating? And as we mentioned, it could be the closet, could be papers on your desk. Start there. And the other choice is at the same time be working on the habit of organizing your kitchen and family room where we spend 70% of the time that we're home. So that's a great place to start. I think it's important to get organized because it means your life is focused. The difference of being organized is you've chosen your focus. If you're unorganized, you have You work twice as hard, if not four times as hard, to accomplish less. And who wants to work four times as hard to accomplish way less than if you got organized?
Yeah.
Personal story, when I had three children of my own under 6 years old, I was just so frustrated. There were mail piles, laundry piles, kitchen dishes, everything all over the kitchen. All four of us were there, the three little kids and myself, and I just kind of had reached my limit, and I exploded. Someone's going to get organized. And they all looked up at me, and I thought, oh, by the ages of everyone in the room, I guess that would be me. And so I determined I would not live like this anymore. And as I conquered one system at a time, first it was the dinner dishes. I mean, it probably took me till after 10 o'clock at night with these little kids to get through dinner dishes. Yeah. And that was just so draining. Well, I've now mastered it and worked at it, so it takes 10 minutes. Then I went on to the next one, and which was the laundry. And now my laundry is done before the next meal even, so it's all put away in the laundry's washer and dryer clean. And then was able to move on to paperwork. And now I do professional offices and First National Bank and the U.S. Navy. And so by building on your skill level, you get to that point where things become systems and habits. You don't even think twice. You don't even have that mental argument, should I make my bed or not? You just know my life works best when I make my bed. And you just do what makes your life work best. Now, the big revelation to me was no one told me it was easier to live organized than disorganized. And when that hit me one day, I thought, that's not even fair. Those organized people never told me this.
Yeah.
And so it was a revelation. I thought, if I want my life to be easy, I'm going to have to work at these habits that are slowing me down. And, you know, anyone out there can make those changes. And I tell you, there is not just a light at the end of the tunnel and getting organized. There's sunshine and landscapes out there and new vistas when you reach that point where you can look around and say, wow, I've made it, and I know how to continue to make changes in my life. It makes life wonderful and smooth sailing.
So motivational. I think, okay, someone's got to get organized. It's got to be me. I'm going to do it. I've got the book, Simplify Your Life. I can do this.
Exactly.
Yes. Tell me about that 10-minute kitchen cleanup. What did you make changes of to make it so fast?
The first thing I did was to turn on a radio station.
Yes.
And I Focus on the Family with James Dobson was on. And when he started at 7 o'clock, my goal was to be finished by 7:30.
Yeah.
And, you know, it felt like I had company in the kitchen. You know, somebody was talking to me and inspiring me. And that way I thought, oh, you know, if I have everybody help clear the dishes from the table to the kitchen, and, oh, if we put all the dishes on this side, and, oh, if, you know, my husband puts away the food in the refrigerator, mm-hmm. or everyone puts it on one side. And so gradually you say, how can I make this easier?
Yeah.
And as you keep asking that question, you're able to solve it, because the mind loves to solve problems. If you don't give it any challenges, it won't solve it. But if you do, it will solve it for you, and you'll see ways to do it easier.
That's excellent. All right, so that's your challenge, getting that kitchen cleaned in 10 minutes. My husband James wants to know if Marcia will come over to our house and do the dishes for us. Maybe she would do that once to show us how. But actually, if you need some more coaching, you can go to her website, which is organizingpro.com, organizingpro.com, and look at Marcia's website. And she has a lot of resources there, and even some coaching that you can get for your family for certain areas of your home that really need some help, or just to kind of get you started. So take a look at that at Marcia's website. You know, I am currently feverishly working on writing a book for you, 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Mom. So I suppose if you're a male listener, the way this would help you is you would give it to your wife and she would become a very happy mom. So that would help you. But 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Mom, it'll come out this summer. So I wanted to let you know that that is around the corner. Remember, a happy home is not just for the girl next door. It is for you. And I hope you've enjoyed this podcast and other resources you can find on my website, ArleenPelican.com. Until next time, remember, you too can have a happy home.